Welcome to the Fairfax Church Podcast. We're a community in Fairfax, Virginia, following Jesus. We upload new messages every week, and to learn more about us, visit us at fairfax.cc. Enjoy the message.
So, we're going to jump into the message. We are in week five of our series titled Go and Tell. And in this series, we have been talking about how each of the gospel writers they end their gospel accounts with some, you know, they say it all in different ways, but some way of saying how Jesus commissions his followers and his disciples to go and tell the world about the good news, to carry out this message of hope and reconciliation to the world, to every culture, to every industry, every neighborhood, that this is Jesus's like commissioning and mandate of his followers. And over the last few weeks, we've been digging into what is the gospel message all about? And how do we share this good news, this message of hope with those around us? And today we're looking at the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role in all of this. And what does the Holy Spirit have to do with this commission from Jesus to go and tell and to tell others about the gospel? So we're going to hang out in John 14 today. And it's John 14 verses 12 through 18. And there's Bibles in your seats. You can turn there. It'll be on the screens as well. And this is Jesus's like final teachings to his disciples before he's about to be arrested and persecuted and nailed to the cross, okay? And so this is right before that. Jesus is saying some of his final words to his disciples. And here's what he says starting in verse 12. I'm going to read all seven verses. Then we're going to kind of go back and look at them in more detail, okay? Here we go. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So to start off, we are going to look at what Jesus says here about the Spirit of truth, or we can call the Holy Spirit, okay? In verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Now, I want to break down this phrase, okay? So this is translated from the Greek to English, okay? And so the Greek, I'm going to butcher it, but basically like alas parakletos, okay? There, I butchered it, and don't, you know, quote me on the right way of saying that. But it's another way of saying, so the word for another in the Greek, it can be translated as like a duplicate of another of the exact same kind. And then parakletos, the word that we get for advocate here in the passage, it translates as like helper also, or like one who gives legal counsel. And so as we look at that, Jesus is essentially saying, look, disciples, I'm going to go, but don't worry, I'm going to give you another one of me to come alongside you and help you, to advocate for you, to guide you. And so we have this duplicate Jesus that he's talking about, and that is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth. Now, whatever your faith background is, you've probably heard of one of the core understandings about God and the Christian faith, and it's this doctrine of the Trinity. It's been around the church theology for a long time, that there's one God, but exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to answer every question you have about, okay, I'm not going to, got you there. Okay. So we don't have time to dig into the doctrine of the Trinity today, but just bear with me. Most of us kind of get the idea of God the Father. You're like, okay, yeah, God up in heaven, he's over the universe, okay? And then we talk about God the Son. You're like, okay, yeah, Jesus. I got four solid books in scripture that are like talking about the life and ministry, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so you're like, okay, got that, God the Son. But then when it comes to the Spirit, you're like, kind of gets a little fuzzy for me there. You know, you're like, I don't know, right? And so I want to highlight a couple things that we see in this little passage in John that help just tell us a little bit more about who the Holy Spirit is, and then we'll talk some practical things after that about how that, you know, helps us live out our faith and share the gospel with others and going and telling, okay? So number one thing I want you to notice in this passage about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is God's personal presence. So in verse 17, notice the language. Jesus says, the world cannot accept him, talking about the Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And so Jesus doesn't refer to the Spirit as an it, but as a he. It doesn't mean the Spirit is male. You know, in Romans, Paul talks about the Spirit is like giving a mother giving birth to a child. And so you're like, whoa, okay, what does Paul know about that? But that's a different story, okay? But the point in this passage is not like the male or femaleness of the Spirit. The point is the personhood of the Spirit. The important thing to note is the Holy Spirit is a person. It's a living being we are in relationship with. But sometimes we might not think about the Holy Spirit this way. Sometimes you might think about the Holy Spirit as like the Force from Star Wars, okay? I like Star Wars, but I'm not like the biggest fan. So if I get some of this stuff wrong, you know, you guys tell me afterwards, okay? The Force in Star Wars. I remember there's a quote by Qui-Gon in like one of the first movies. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Qui-Gon is explaining to Anakin, who becomes Darth Vader and all this stuff. He's talking to him about what the Force is, and he says, it's an energy field that binds all living things together. It surrounds us and permeates us. It gives a Jedi Knight its power. This is what Qui-Gon says to Anakin. In the whole Star Wars universe, like most of the people know about the Force. They might believe it, they might not. We have like Han Solo, who does not believe in the Force. He's like, give me a blaster, like not all this stuff about the Force and all that stuff. So he's skeptical, he's not into it. But most of the characters really have nothing to do with the Force. It's just for a few select Jedi Knights. And sometimes we might feel that the Holy Spirit is for like a few select Jedi amongst you guys, amongst our church. The Holy Spirit is for a few, but it's not for everyone, not for me or whatever. But, you know, the thing is that, I was going to talk about how Yoda says, like, the Force is strong with this one, right? And the Force is strong with this one. Is he? No? Okay. You guys are like, wow. Okay. So, you know, we're in church and we're saying sometimes, oh, the Holy Spirit is strong with this one, okay? But sometimes the Holy Spirit is viewed as this power to wield rather than a person to be in relationship with. And the Holy Spirit has power, like absolutely, for sure. But the first thing to note is that this isn't like some abstract kind of power out there in the universe, but it is a person, that the Holy Spirit is a person, is a being that we are in relationship with. And Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, writes in chapter 5, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a being that we could walk ahead of or fall behind with or be disconnected from or be walking hand in hand with. And so Paul is talking about how, you know, as followers of Jesus, we can be in tune with the Spirit or not. We can be walking with the right pace with him or not. And so the Holy Spirit is God's personal presence. He's personal. That's the first kind of subpoint here. And then the second part is it's God's presence. He is God's presence. And so we look back at verse 12. Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. He is, Jesus is like, I'm peacing out. And then in verse 18 at the bottom, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus is like, I'm leaving. And then two lines later, he says, don't worry, I'm going to be with you always. I will never leave you. And so this is only possible by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. And every time we gather as the church on Sundays, and we gather in a small group, or all throughout the week long, God's personal presence is here. It is not far in distance, but it is here. God is present. Jesus is present, and his Spirit is here. And that is right in line with the entire story and narrative of Scripture, right? We see from Genesis to Revelation, it's the story of God's desire to be with his people. All the way from the Garden of Eden, in the first two chapters of the Bible, it talks about how God is walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. Like, God is present in there. And then at the end, you know, at the end of Scripture in Revelation 21, John, who's looking to the future in this vision, he says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And so all of the Scripture in between, from Genesis 3, when sin separates God from humanity and heaven from earth, and sin has marred all that God had intended, and the rest of Scripture, it's this story of the God of the universe, this living God he's relentlessly pursuing to be with his people again. Unstoppable desire to be with us again. And so when we gather as the body of Christ in this building, in a home, we gather on a Zoom call, God's personal presence is there. Where two or more are gathered, God's presence is there. But also, in 1 Corinthians, we know that the Holy Spirit is even closer. That when you believe in Jesus, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That throughout the whole story of the Old Testament to the New Testament, you see God's presence getting closer and closer and closer until eventually God's presence dwells with each and every one of his followers. So, what's the first point? God is not far off or distant or uninvolved, but he is here right now, and he is close. He is so close that he dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit is God's personal presence. The second thing is the Holy Spirit is God's power. Now we're going to look again at verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. What works has Jesus been doing? Jesus has been performing miracles. He's been healing the sick. He's been casting out demons. He's been feeding the hungry. He's been raising the dead at one point. And you read the Gospels, any of them, and you just see miraculous story after miraculous story of Jesus restoring people, people being restored physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And he goes on to say in verse 12, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. And then he says, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And now what does Jesus mean by greater? Jesus just finished raising Lazarus from the dead. And he's saying, oh, that's nothing, guys. There's going to be so much more greater things you're going to do. Like, there's going to be a new app in the future. That's going to, you know, I don't know, right? And so you're like, what is Jesus talking about here? And so, honestly, theologians don't know for sure. There's just kind of like a leading theory that by greater, Jesus doesn't mean greater in quality, but greater in quantity. That, you see, Jesus was God in the flesh, and he was in a body, and he was in space and time, and could only be at one place in one time. But then after his death and his resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes upon all who believe in him. Now the body of Christ is more than one body. The body of Christ is this metaphor that runs through all the New Testament. And his body is all of his followers. And the church is made up of billions of men and women and children all over the world throughout history. The body of Christ. And today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, his personal presence, he is at work through the entire body of Christ all around the world. We may not know the exact things that Jesus is talking about when he says greater things. But one thing we know for sure is he doesn't mean lesser. And you're like, man, that is advanced. Wow, you learned that one in seminary or what? But really, though, maybe we don't know for sure. But we know that he definitely did not mean lesser. He did not mean, oh, yeah, actually, guys, like, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to go to church on Sunday and leave the rest to me, okay? He doesn't say that He says, no, you're going to be participating in this transformative work that I have been doing. So what we know for sure is that God wants to do something in and through our lives. Jesus then says next in the next verse in 13, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, Jesus is not saying here, you know, put his name on the end of whatever prayer you want and you'll get whatever you want. So, you know, it's not like, all right, God, like, here's what I want, whatever. In Jesus' name, amen. Boom. Let's hope for that, okay? Like, that's not how what Jesus is saying here at all. In the culture of Jesus' day, your name was synonymous with your character, with who you are. And so to pray in Jesus' name is to pray in line with his character. You pray for the kind of stuff that Jesus is all about. And when you pray in line with the kind of stuff that Jesus is all about, first of all, that usually not always lines up with what we are thinking or what we think is best and all of that, right? But when we pray in Jesus' name, Jesus says, and you're praying in the line with my character and who I am, then you will see me work. This is why Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he's not saying, disciples, just tell me what you want and I got you. He's like, pray that it's not your will be done, but thy will be done. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so putting all this together, Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will get to continue the restorative work that I have been doing. And actually, it's going to be even greater than what you've seen here and what has happened here. And this kingdom work that's happening in and through you is only possible because of his Spirit being at work in your life. We are completely, completely dependent on the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. For those of us that have come to Christ, it is the Holy Spirit who has called us and transformed us and done any kind of work in our lives, right? It's the Holy Spirit for those that we long to see their lives transformed, for them to come to know Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God's power and presence that does the transformative work. But we get to participate in that when we are following Jesus. So, God's personal presence is here and now, and he is not just watching. He is working and he is moving. And he chooses to take up his dwelling and residence in his followers. Transformative things happen. Powerful things happen. Mental health is restored. People break the chains of addiction. Physical health is restored. Families reunited. Marriages are restored. The hopeless find hope. The oppressed are set free. The power and presence of God has been on display in Jesus. And through the early church, we see the Holy Spirit at work. And that same power and presence of God is accessible to us today. It's tangible. We can see it. We can taste it and touch it and experience it. And as we talk about going and telling in this series, and what does it mean to live out our faith and to tell others about our faith, we need the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit to live out the mission that God has called us to. As a church, we want to see God's kingdom come in Fairfax as it is in heaven. We long to see God's restorative work bring wholeness to our neighbors, to our families, to our friends, to our city. But what does this practically look like? What would it look like for us to depend more on the power of God's Spirit? What does it look like to walk in step with the Spirit as we live out this commissioning to go and tell others, to share Jesus with those around us? You know, sometimes we can reduce sharing our faith down to just exchanging information. And don't get me wrong, as I said earlier, information is important and it's vital, but it's also an experience that transforms people, right? It's an encounter with God and the Holy Spirit. That is the transforming power that changes people's lives. And so it's not just an exchange of information, but also an invitation to God's presence. And so I want to close with a few, three practical ways that we can lean into the power and presence of the Holy Spirit when it comes to sharing our faith with others. The step one, okay, to participate in God's restorative work in the world, it starts with us. And it starts with us. What I mean by that is you can't take places, people, places you've never been, right? Sometimes we want so badly for someone else to come to know Jesus that we focus so much on them being renewed and them being restored and them coming to faith, whether it's our kids or our spouse or our small group or whatever it is. And we start to press into God and we realize, like, man, I've kind of forgotten how much I need God, how broken I still am, right? We can become so focused on the restoration of somebody else that we can forsake in ourselves and that we still need God, that we are still in need of his work in our lives. Something that Jesus did often. He withdrew from the daily grind to pray and to be alone with God. You see this again and again. If you just read through the scriptures, you see Jesus, he frees himself from distraction and the noise, and he gets away to pray. And there's flocks of people after him all the time, right? And he gets away to pray. And so one of the most important things is we are need to walk in step with the Spirit to get personal with God is to make space to be personal with God, to orient our lives around prayer, to allow there to be space and margin in our lives where we can just be with God and be in his presence. Number two, where is God already at work? Right? So it starts with our posture and our relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, but God is already at work. He is already working. And, you know, we want others to encounter God, and we just need to start paying attention and listening and looking around. Sometimes we, like, want to go off somewhere else and be like, man, God, I think might be working over there. I'm headed over there, or I can't wait to get over there because, man, then things are really starting to happen, right? Where is God already at work in and through you and around you in the places that you already are? You can be absolutely sure that the Holy Spirit is at work in your midst. The presence of God is at work in all these places where we are. And we can experience God and invite others to experience him through the people and events that are happening right in front of us. And so maybe that means having a heart-to-heart conversation with someone in your life that's long overdue. Having real meaningful conversations about life and faith with someone that's already in your life. Maybe it's a neighbor who's been your neighbor like maybe forever, and you don't even know their name. It's like they're the cat person, or like they're the person with the seven dogs, right? Or like whatever, right? Man, they're right there. What is their name even, right? We can't pray for them by name if we don't know their name. Maybe it means inviting somebody to Alpha. Maybe it means getting involved in something new. Maybe it means saying yes saying no to something so you can say yes to something else. Maybe it's a call that is long overdue to someone that you love and care about that you haven't talked to in years. Whatever it is, where is God already at work in the places and the people around you? And how are you prayerfully, thinking about how God might be leading you to respond in those relationships and in those places? And the third point, and lastly, creating space for God to show up, okay? What if we ask God to show up and just see what happens? Sometimes we feel like, man, I'm not equipped. I might not have the right words. I might get these things wrong. Or what if I take this step and nothing happens? Man, what if I invite somebody to Alpha, or I invite a neighbor over to share a meal, or have a conversation with somebody or whatever, and God doesn't show up. Here's the thing about creating space for God to show up. Shouldn't all of our efforts be perfectly designed to fail without God? We are completely dependent on him. The things that have happened in our life are because of him. And the things that are going to happen in the lives of those that we love, that we feel called to, is going to happen because of him. And so shouldn't our plans be dependent on him coming through? And man, that's scary. And man, when it feels like it didn't go the way that we thought it should go, that's frustrating and discouraging and all of that. But man, we got to keep creating spaces for God to show up, to prayerfully create space, to take steps of faith. Look at what Jesus says to Simon Peter in Luke 5. Before he even calls him to be a disciple, right? Jesus says this. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Let out your net one more time. I know you've tried before. I know you've worked hard all day and all night and haven't caught anything. But just try one more time. Whatever previous attempts you feel like looked like failure, put those behind you and row out into deep water. Once more, will you let down your nets?" Sometimes we get discouraged. We look at all our previous attempts to live out our faith or share our faith, to extend invitation, all this stuff. And we can lose hope that God can use us, that God can work in a person's life. We say, "No, you don't understand. Not in this person. Not in this person." But Jesus says, "What about one more time? If you are willing, take that step to cast your nets out one more time. Despite your doubts, despite the past failures, we know that God has come through in the past. Those that have experienced that in our own lives, we know that God is faithful. And so if you are willing, there are entire groups of people. Think about all the people in this room and watching online and all the relationships that are uniquely connected to us, that God has uniquely positioned all of us in Fairfax for this time and this place. And I don't know, maybe you don't want to be in Fairfax or wherever you are in this area. But man, God has us here, all here together, to perhaps transform an entire group of people in this city. Something we could never have dreamed of. Something that we couldn't possibly do ourselves. And so, where is the Holy Spirit nudging you? Who is he nudging you towards? What step is he nudging you to take? Maybe you are here today and you feel God calling you to be in relationship with him because you've been far from him. You've never said yes to his invitation for him to be your Lord and Savior. And maybe that is how the Holy Spirit is guiding you here today. Whatever it is, I encourage you to think and pray about that. And let's close and just pray together. God, we thank you for just the gift of your presence and just the fact that you are so close to us, God. God, we know that you are here and that you are alive, that you are moving in this place, in this room, in our lives, in the lives of people that we are connected with. And God, we just rest in you, God. We rest in your love for us. We rest in your grace for us, Father. God, we give you all of the ways that we feel ashamed of things that have happened in the past, God. We give you all of our fears for what might happen in the future, God. We give you all our anxieties, God, all of it. We know that your name is big enough and above it all. And so, Father, we just pray that you would do something miraculous in our families, in this city, in this church. God, to people that you have placed in our lives, God, we pray, God, for your kingdom to come. But we know that that first starts in our own hearts, in our own lives. And so, God, we just surrender to you. And we just pray, God, that you would use us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fairfax Church podcast. You can find more messages like this on our YouTube channel at Fairfax Church, or follow us here. If you were blessed by the message and resources provided, feel free to leave us a review.